I was looking at my champagne glass thinking how wrong it had been to bring it with me, as if I was in a rough pub and someone might spike my pint, when it suddenly struck me that the length of my absence had probably crossed the point that implied defecation. What a horrible thing to do, to come to another person's house and then sneak away to a little room and do a huge shit. I hurried to return, hoping to fit myself into a time frame that might simply have suggested a very long piss. But a spurt from the brass tap zoomed up the scalloped curve of the sink like an ambitious skateboarder and left my trousers looking urine-spattered. The solution, I decided, was to ensure the accident couldn't be misinterpreted. I flicked extra droplets quite liberally all over the area below the waistband. This was an unambiguous overspill, I wanted my trousers to announce. Not a urine situation. Mr. What's-his-name seemed like some sort of gnome, with a red cap and a very big pointy ears. His sleeves were rolled up and his waistcoat was undone. The saucepan man had one eye open, his ruddy face beaming at them. He wore the most extraordinary selection of saucepans strung all over his small person, and even had one on top of his head. "Visitors," he said, and then he started rapping, drumming out the rhythm of his two front saucepans. "Two men asleep and two fairies who fly, two children who are peeping with a high diddle high." The children laughed, but Birdie was puzzled. She couldn't always count accurately, but even she knew that the saucepan man had got it wrong. "You said two fairies, and Silky's the only one here. And you said two children. And there are three of us, Milo, Mia, and I'm Birdie," she said. "It's just to fit my song. I always have to begin with two. It sounds better. Pleased to meet you, Birdie and Mia and Milo." Strike threw his mobile onto the passenger seat, lit a cigarette and watched Eleanor Dean's front door for another 15 minutes until, on a sudden whim, he snatched up the phone from beside him and again called Barclay.
"What are you doing right now?"
"Filing my expenses," said the Scot laconically. "That casino cost you a fortune."
"Is my brother still there?"
"No." "He left."
"Good.
I need you to come over and take over in Stoke Newington."
"I haven't got my car with me."
"Okay, well, fuck it then," said Strike angrily.
"I'm sorry, Strike," said Barclay, "but I'm supposed to have this afternoon off."
"No, I'm sorry," said Strike, closing his eyes. He had the same sensation of a wire tightening around his forehead that he'd experienced in St. Mawes.